mouth. She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her
man. Away we go with a chuckle on a Thursday morning. Jen gave it to you. Alex Groff, Mark Shimura, Joshy DiMaggio with you. What the hell's going on?
Joshy, someone is not cut out for mornings. That
Sleepy.
Is evident as soon as you put the camera on.
Ooh, do I look tired?
Ooba.
I feel great.
See, this is a screw up by Ashton. God, why don't they consult me more?
The hell did I do?
You're not cut out for mornings. You're just not. I could tell by looking at you when Joshy went to the camera before it was rolling. What I would have done is I would have went with you on Tuesday, Benny on Wednesday, so you could recharge your batteries, and then you again on Thursday. You're struggling with back-to-back. Joshy struggled early on when he made the switch from the afternoons to the morning, but thank God he had me here to power him through.
See, you know what's funny?
I don't have the strength.
It's funny you say that, because right before I cracked the mic and heard your devious laughter, I was thinking to myself, you know, I'm actually getting used to this. I was like, I think I got more energy than yesterday.
You had zero juice in the production meeting. You just wanted to get out of there. Me and Josh, you were having a great conversation, and I had to cut it off because you were like, you got to take a power nap at 6:53 to get ready for 7.
Hey, the good news is the red light's on. I'm here. I'm juiced up. I'm ready to go.
Right.
I don't know why you're taking shots at me right out of the gate. Because
did you shower this morning?
Of course I showered this morning.
All right, because I was going to say your hair is... The one thing you have is solid hair.
Thank you. You know, I'll take the compliment off the bat.
You have solid hair.
And the one thing you don't have is a good night's sleep next to your lovely wife. So Chewy last night, as far as I'm aware, was relegated to the guest bedroom because, while he won't admit it, I will on his behalf, has a snoring problem. And he kept his wife up Tuesday night, and she finally had enough. Said, Mark, to the guest bedroom you go Wednesday night. Did you end up sleeping in the guest bedroom?
I did, but I didn't want to do the test. And she made me do the test because I knew I wasn't going to sleep well. And let me tell you what, I didn't snore.
So the test that Chewy is referring to, I believe, is a test to tell you whether or not you have sleep apnea, right?
And yes.
Correct.
God forbid you do, but obviously we're going to fix that problem if the test ends up showing that you do or are showing signs of sleep apnea. So you wore
snore.
A... Break down what you wore for us in
the
guest bedroom.
So the technology is amazing because I have buddies that have to do the whole mask thing. And they said they had to actually go to the sleep study at their facility overnight and put probes on your head and all that stuff. All this was a watch which had a wire coming out of it that you would put a monitor on one of your fingers. And then another wire that would go just below, just where your sternum starts on your chest.
Okay.
So it was a little bit of a pain. It took me a little while to fall asleep, but didn't snore one bit. Slept about probably 6 hours, and I've been up since probably 4 o'clock your time.
I have important questions here.
Yeah.
Did you get a reading from the watch or something that told you you didn't snore, or is the lack of snoring something you've self-diagnosed?
I did not hear myself snore one bit last night, okay?
Of course.
So I woke up, and the nice thing, it just said, because you got to have your phone next to you because it goes through your phone, and it says your results have been sent to your doctor. So I didn't have to do anything, and you just throw the watch away. So it was quite painless.
Huh. Oh, so you actually have no idea what the test says yet?
Well, I know because, as, I don't know if you know, I'm a kind of a jailhouse doctor.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I'm kind of a genius, but all right.
Well, there's that. I mean, that'd be bragging.
That'd be unbecoming of him.
That'd be bragging. Yeah, you're right. Excuse me for assuming you would brag.
I mean, the technology is great, and... this is what I said,
well,
Alex.
Okay? You actually know nothing.
I said,
he
you
knows
know nothing.
Nothing.
This is what I said because my wife's like, how'd you sleep? And I went, eh. I wanted to have a little guilt out there.
Smart play.
I said, I don't care what the results, how they turn out. I said, I'm not wearing a mask. And she says, you won't wear a mask next to me and sleep. You'll sleep in the other bedroom. And I said, absolutely. You can pull that. I bet most men would say the same thing.
You are more than welcome to pull that. I don't agree with him.
Yeah, no.
Why?
Because this is literally life or death. Is it not?
It is. Look, my dad had sleep apnea. He had the whole mask thing. He wore it one night. He made it to 80, right? Which is a good run.
That is a good run.
I'm just looking for 84. And my dad's never worked out a day in his life. He still drank whole milk to the day he died. He ate a half gallon of ice cream every day and made it to 80.
Half gallon?
That's a lot of ice cream.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's iron stomach.
That's crazy. That's a bold decision. Well, two things here. Number one, we're only asking you about this because we care about you. Number two, sleep apnea does have genetic components. So just because your father made it to 80 doesn't mean he didn't pass it down to you.
Yeah, but he never worked out a day in his I don't think he's ever sweat in
life. Does working out change sleep apnea?
Of course it does.
I think there are contributing factors, and health is one of them. Certain, but I mean, I know plenty of people who are in, much like yourself, tip-top shape that have sleep apnea. Like people that are like runners and stuff. That it's sometimes
so
it's
you guys
just
would wear the Darth.
Well, I'm pretty sure it's also come quite a far, and I'm sure there's people in the audience like. I don't think it's from like the early 2000s, what you're remembering. Like, I think you can just put something over your nose at this point, and it's pretty harmless.
This is the way I look at it. If Jesus wants me, I'm flattered. Okay. I'm flattered.
So if you stick around too long, should I be asking if he wants you or not?
Jesus must not want you very much.
I'll start the worry. Okay.
When is the worry point?
90? Probably 90, 95.
Yeah. Should I start eating ice cream?
Half gallon.
You start wondering every what the day. Hell am I doing here still?
So, hold on. I want to go back to I wanted to put a little bit of guilt out there.
Oh, yeah. That's a.
Which I here's didn't one hear thing guilt, I, though. He said.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
I'll sleep in the guest bedroom.
No, the guilt was he didn't sleep as well because he wasn't in his normal bed next to his sweet, sweet wife. And the other part is if I don't do this, I'm going to sleep in the other room. So now he's putting them at odds and in different beds. You got to remember one thing with Chewy, and I tell people this. Everything's a negotiation. There's a give and take for everything. If Chewy's given... If Chewie's given sleep apnea a shot, you got to give him something back.
Josh, there's always a negotiation, and everything needs to be power ranked.
Yes. Those are the
golden rules of Chewie.
Everything needs to be power ranked.
Yes. So if you're wondering where something's coming from or what's going on, if you run it through one of those two filters, you'll probably find your answer.
Yeah, but you want the wife to feel a little guilty, right?
Do you think she feels guilty at all? Because I don't either.
Because I think she has your best interest in mind here.
She's like, I want you to be alive, you big dummy.
I'd like you to stick around longer.
She shows guilt, but when she gets in that bed, she's sprawling. She's like, oh, this is wonderful. Sleep in that damn room your whole life.
I think that fits pretty much everybody who's sleeping next to someone. You prefer them there, but when they're gone, you're like, this is pretty nice.
How often do you guest room it? Is this a more common occurrence than I realize?
No. No, it's not, because I'm okay with a beating. Like, I've woke up mornings, Alex, and my deltoid is just screaming like I got a tetanus shot or something. The dead giveaway is when I'm bleeding from the face means she got me with the ring. That's the giveaway.
How common is that?
Well, I went to the gym and working out, looking in the mirror. I'm like, I'm 56 and I'm getting a cold. What the heck? I'm like, that's not a cold sore. That's a wound. But she'll never admit it. You know? So, you know what? Well, you guys are an hour behind. I might get the results of the test. Before the show is over.
That would be a live reveal of the sleep apnea
test. That would be electric.
I do have an additional thing. How much if you were to power rank people who deserve credit for you actually taking your sleep apnea test, where do Strofe and I rank? Because I feel like we were a big catalyst to this happening yesterday.
We'll work it the other way. I'm one.
Yeah,
I'm
of course. I'm one. Yeah, because you did all the hard work.
You guys are probably three, four.
That's okay.
The doc's got to be higher. Because this is what the doc...
Uh-oh.
My wife drives me nuts sometimes. The doc was down here, right? And she went talking to him behind my back.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which there's got to be some kind of HIPAA thing. Has to be some kind of HIPAA thing. Right? So then the package shows up at the house, and I'm like, the hell is this? This is the weirdest looking watch I've ever seen in my life. And she's like, oh, that's your new sleep apnea test. I'm like, so the doc, this is what he said. Great dude. Great. Good friend of mine. He said, I'll feel guilty if he dies and I don't send him the test.
Oh, wow.
Which is a nice doctor.
I think. I mean, that's an insane sentence, but if that probably scared you into it. So I would understand why he's higher than us in the power rankings.
I have no problem dying. What's wrong with dying?
Well, okay. So in theory,
Do you have a fear of death?
You can no longer think when you're dead. So I understand why you would not have a fear of death. However, I don't want to die, to answer your question. Yeah. No. Do I have a fear of death? Maybe. The answer is definitely not no.
I think everyone
if
should
I
have...
went today, I would be like, you know what? That was a great 56 years.
While I respect the sentiment, you can't do that. You're dead.
I believe in ghosts, though.
Do you?
And you want to power rank that on who I'm coming back to haunt first?
Yeah, I do at some point.
Well, you're on it.
I don't believe you.
You two are on it.
I'm on it.
Okay, I know why we're on it, though. Because Chewy likes to mess with us.
Yeah, he thinks it would be very funny. Yes. Yeah.
Nobody thinks Mark Chmura is funnier than Mark Chmura.
I think he's
That's
pretty
a good
funny.
Point. That's fair. But do you guys believe in ghosts?
No, I do not. Not one bit.
This is going to be fun.
Do you believe in...
I've seen ghosts before.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
You were probably two sheets to the wind and said,
no,
whoa, why did that door move a little bit?
I was 10. 10.
And?
Over by the pine woods.
Oh.
I ran away. Yes.
Wait, did
ghosts
you do...
Ghosts are big on the East Coast. They're huge.
They fancy Boston or what?
Like, we went to Italy.
Not the East Coast.
We were in Florence. Is that the water one? Florence? No. What's the water one?
I'm going to let you drown here, proverbially. Just like the city is.
Oh, Venice.
There you go.
So we were there, and very nice hotel. And they said, well, we have three rooms for you to choose from. One of them is claimed to be haunted. And my wife didn't want to stay there. I'm like, we're staying in there. I woke up the next morning so PO'd because no ghost showed up.
What if you just slept through the ghost with your sleep apnea?
Wait, hold on. Have you guys ever stayed in the Pfister?
Yeah. The first thing I ever heard about that being haunted, I was like, I got to stay there.
And
it's just a beautiful hotel. That's the end of the story.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I think you got to be hauntable, though.
Wait, the person or the building?
The person.
Do you think I'm like a hauntable?
I don't know, but I mean, a ghost isn't going to waste their time on you.
You just said if you died, you would waste your time on us.
Yeah, but you don't believe in ghosts, so what the hell am I doing with you? If you don't believe...
Well,
see what I'm saying?
Couldn't you make an effort as a ghost to make us believe?
I like that he's treating ghosts like Santa, right? Like, if you don't believe in Santa, Santa's not coming.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of agree.
We're treading in an uncomfortable territory.
You're a big dumb idiot. All right, Jason Wilde, three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, host of Wilde and Tausch, going to join us coming up next. I think I want to talk ghosts with Jason.
I bet Jason believes.
I'm gonna guess he doesn't.
Okay.
But we'll find out. That'll be the first question I ask. Jason Wilde joins us next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Ready, down, hut.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Jen gave it to you on a Thursday morning. Alex Drew, Mark Tomorrow, Joshy DiMaggio hanging out with you. Sources close to the program tell me our next guest called me and Chewy idiots.
Yeah, he answered the phone and said, "You guys are idiots." I said,
"Yeah."
"Ah, you were listening."
Fantastic. We welcome in the 3-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, the co-host of Wildy and Tausch, live at Pottawatomie Sportsbook today. Jason Wildy, ghost believer or non-ghost believer, joins us. Jason, good morning.
Well, let's not let Joshy off the hook here. When I say you guys are idiots, let's not pretend it's just you and Chewy. Yeah.
He's
in the mix.
I know you respect Joshy's mental acumen. So I figured maybe he got the pass.
I have the tendency to be an idiot just like you guys, and I will admit that freely.
Right, just like, you know, you can believe in ghosts, or you can believe in wanting your 16 minutes of your life back that you just spent listening to you guys. So,
I take that as a no, Jason. That's a no.
No, it's not a no. Actually, it's a, I am. There are too many stories of people, and look, we had our wedding at the Pfister. I love the Pfister. I am frankly disappointed, like you were, at that resort that you didn't get haunted when you were there. Like, I want to run into the ghosts of Christmas past at the Pfister. So I have not experienced it, but I think there are enough people that tell stories that don't seem like complete idiots that make me wonder if there's not some, you know, kind of being trapped between our world and the afterlife. Now, I will say this. I can't, you know, it's been a good 56-year run for you, but I am terrified of death. Like, really? I don't know how you're not. Like, that's, like, you know, I went to Lutheran grade school and high school, and I believe in God, but these folks that I would be around when I was growing up who would say that they don't fear death and they, you know, they'll get to go to heaven and be with Jesus, great. I want to go to heaven too. I'm just not in any rush to get there. I'd like to stay here as long as I possibly can. And the idea of I'm not afraid, like, if I run too fast, which, you know, Alex can understand what this feels like. And I start to feel like a chest pain. I'm like, oh, my God, am I having a heart attack? Like, I am a total hypochondriac because I am terrified of this. So
what's Jason, what's going to happen to you, let's say, when you're 80s? Will you be paralyzed by it, you think?
I feel like once you get to that point, then you're kind of feeling like, hey, I'm playing with house money, right?
Okay.
Like, I think you get past, like, I would say 80 would be the house money point.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, like Junior Bridgman passing away this week.
Yeah,
like 71. When I was a kid, 71 seemed ancient, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now at 53, I am praying that I do way better than 71, right? So
yeah. The
idea, you know, when I talk to Ron Wolf, for example, he's like 85 now. Still sharp as a tack. Like, I certainly hope that I, A, get there, and B, can have conversations like he does with when I talk to him. Like, that's the goal, obviously, right? And I should probably eat less ice cream if I want to do that. But, I don't think I'll be paralyzed by it then, but I'm definitely, there's a little bit of paralysis now.
You know what my weird measure is, Jason? It's Super Bowl 31, because it was such a great part of my life, and that'll be 2 years from now, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving forward 30 years, probably going to be dead. And that seemed like yesterday to me. You know?
Yeah.
Do you have something like that in your life where that's the measure, and you're like, holy cow, that was 30 years ago?
Well, and obviously, as a dad, you know this feeling too. Like, you know, Maddie, we got an email last week for Maddie to be old enough for classroom driver's ed. And I was like, I used profanity, actually, when I read it, because I was like, holy blank. Yeah. Like, she was 5 yesterday, mm-hmm. and now she's going to go take driver's ed. Like, I look back on some of the seasons that I covered. And it's weird. They feel both a really long time ago and like they're yesterday, if that's even possible. But like Super Bowl 31, that's a great example. Like, I have very vivid memories of that week in New Orleans and you knuckleheads being up on a balcony, and I'm in the Brett Favre Sports Century saying that we were walking through the French Quarter and we saw you idiots up there on the balcony, and that was, we didn't know that the NFL had lifted his drinking ban.
Well, and they really didn't.
Okay. Well, there you go. And my big line in the Sports Century is, and I was wondering, what's in that cup? I'm sure it was. But, like, I remember that so clearly, and yet, like you said, that is forever ago. It's crazy.
I know.
Jason Wilder with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Mark Chamora, Alex Dorf, Joshy DiMaggio hanging out with you. Jason, Cooper Kupp, apparently a couple reports saying the Packers could be interested in the veteran wide receiver services following his release from the Rams yesterday. It just doesn't feel like a Goody signing, but I guess I don't know what feels like a Goody signing anymore. What do you make of these reports? You think it's realistic?
Oh, you still know what a Goody signing is. And yeah, I don't look, first of all, I'd rather talk about sleeping in the guest room, but I'm very curious. This would be an out of character signing. Now, it also would be the GM is taking the idea of, hey, we have to ramp up our urgency. We got to compete for championships. And who better to sign than a guy that's been a Super Bowl MVP that Lur is familiar with, that Matt LaFleur's brother coached last year. So he would certainly have insight, just like Matt can give Mike LaFleur insight into Devontae. But I'm with you. Like, this feels like, you know, the one thing I don't want to do, and I you guys heard me say this about the Devontae thing, you know, realizing in the end that Goody had literally zero interest in him, like not even enough to place a phone call, that I don't want to get our fans' hopes up. I don't want to be the guy that basically does the, hey, what's that on your shirt? Boop! And poke you in the nose about stuff. Like, and so when it comes to Cooper Kupp, like, there are some connections that make you think, okay, I guess I can see this. But like you just said, when you look at the reality of what Goody does, like, are we just being, for lack of a better term, idiots, thinking that he's going to sign guys that are over 30 that have injury histories? Like, is he going to trade for Trey Hendrickson? He doesn't have an injury history, but again, he's going to be 31 during the season. And if you look at the numbers, a lot of pass rushers, the numbers just aren't there. Like, Khalil Mack is one of the exceptions that proved the rule. And he wasn't going anywhere near him, I'm sure, even though he tried to trade for him in 2018. So I'm never going to say never, like Homer with a 0% or 100%, but this feels very unlikely to me. And if it happens, great, because I still think whether it's Davante Adams or Cooper Kupp or whoever it might be, that room, especially with, you know, Christian Watson, who I think is the clear-cut leader of the group, even though he's certainly not an old player and he certainly hasn't been durable enough to be on the field as much as they'd like him to be. He's the clear-cut leader in that room, but he could use some help there. And a guy that's done what Cooper Kupp has done, or a guy like Davante and what he's done, would be a really good fit for this team. I just don't see it as a likelihood.
Jason, we played your clip the other day from your show where you were talking to an individual high up in the Packer organization telling you that the Max Crosby deal is not dead. So yesterday, I told this to Adam Schefter, and he looked at me like I was crazy, which was your kind of reaction when said individual said this to you. My question is, what do you think said individual's motivation was for telling you this?
Yeah, I think it was wishful thinking, right? And I hope, you know, Adam is far more plugged in than me, but I even said to this person when I was talking to him, come on. They just gave him $91 million guaranteed. Well, I'm just saying, you know, I'm hearing it's not a done deal or whatever he said, and I was like, okay, well, I think once a guy has signed a contract and a team has made the commitment, that I think it's a done deal, man. So again, the reason I mentioned it is that this is the time of year where people hope for things to happen or convince themselves. We're probably guilty of doing it right now, except this guy actually hasn't signed with a team when we talk about Cooper Kupp, right? Like, probably guilty of getting our hopes up for very little logical reason. So I hope it didn't come across. Otherwise, Adam's going to think I'm an idiot. I hope.
Do you think he was gas lamping you?
Gas lamping?
What?
I love the gas.
You've never heard that term.
Define gas lamping.
Yeah, go ahead, Chew. What's gas lamping?
I don't know what it is. I just everyone's like, oh, that's a gas lamp. Well, no. You gas lamped them. I don't even. But it sounds like this would be a gas lamp.
That's also not what people say. But that's all right.
What do they say?
Gaslight.
I don't think I was being. I don't think it was gaslighting. I think it was wishful thinking. Okay. But and I said as much. Now, again, I here's the thing. Like, I think there are probably lots of folks in that building, and this is why I said, because I saw every time I say something interesting, it ends up on social media, and then I got to deal with people who don't they like read the little clip. What it says about the clip, and they don't even bother. Like, it's 2 minutes, man. Like, take the 2 minutes to get at least some of the full picture of what I said. But, like, I when I say this, you know, I'm sure Josh is going to cut it up. But, like, I know that there are people that work in the building that would love to have Trey Hendrickson on their team. Don't care how old he is, but they know that Jeff Hafley last year was conjuring up a pass rush that their guys were not good enough last year. I mean, Goody said that publicly, so I don't have to hide that fact. But that Trey Hendrickson would probably be worth the risk to those people. And whether or not Goody does that, this is how I got into trouble with Jim, Matt, and Molly. Like, I don't think Goody and LaFleur have like a really bad relationship. I think there was a time when there was some, you know, frustration or friction there that LaFleur had really, he didn't have any interest in what LaFleur had to say. I think that's better now. But I just because your coaches want you to trade for a soon-to-be 31-year-old pass rusher doesn't mean the general manager's going to do it. So, again, I think that what probably fuels that more than anything else, if we're being totally honest, whether it's the Max Crosby thing or hoping that they make a deal for Hendrickson, is that they know that their pass rush wasn't good enough and that they watched the Super Bowl and they, frankly, watched the playoff game they played against the Eagles and saw how much having a front four that can get pressure on their own opens things up for your defense. And that's what Jeff Hafley wants. And obviously everybody wants that as a defensive coordinator, but all the simulated pressures and everything else that he had to conjure up, I had a conversation with LaFleur late in the year, and one of the things that he praised Hafley up and down for was figuring out a way to create pressure given the way that front four was performing. So, you know, whether it's realistic or not, I think that those guys that on the coaching staff are clearly hoping that something bolsters the pass rush.
So, but hearing you say that, Jason, it makes me wonder. And look, I get free agency as a crapshoot. I get that you're dealing with bidding wars and probably overpaying free agents. But it surprises me they didn't address the defensive line in any capacity via free agency this week. Does that surprise you as well?
Well, look, the thing that surprised me, and let's back up, because the things that should not surprise us are the contracts that Eric Stokes, Josh Myers, A.J. Dillon signed or agreed to. Those sent a very clear message, right? The Packers did not want them back because those are popcorn money contracts. They are easy. If they really wanted them back, they could have easily paid that. the money that they paid to Aaron Banks, I am really, really curious to see how that signing works out, because that is a lot of money, and I know it was a depressed guard market, and they really felt like they had to address the offensive line. I mean, I think, you know, you talk about being haunted by ghosts, the ghost of Lincoln Financial Field and Travis Glover and Kadeem Telford trying to protect Love against that front four after Elgton Jenkins leaves after four snaps. That's haunting them. And that's how you end up paying what they did for Aaron Banks, I think. But in terms of the pass rush, like, again, those guys, let's be honest, pass rushers are going to get overpaid in free agency, right? We can agree on that?
Yep.
Like, you're not going to find a real bargain. You're going to hope that maybe in, you know, April or May or June, you know, a guy gets cut after a team drafts a guy high and you're able to snag him. But I don't have a problem with them not addressing pass rusher, because I look at what the going rate was for guys that were not super productive. I mean, I get it, but they have to get better there. And I know Goody made the comment that he thinks they can get better from within, and that these guys in their second year in the system will be that much better. You know, Kenny Clark had never played in a 4-3 in his life before last year, but there's no doubt that that is a major area where they have to be better. But, and you're right, they haven't done anything to make it better.
But, Jason, real quickly, I mean, this was still, I believe, a top 10 offensive line. I would have paid Josh Myers $3.5 million. It's kind of your Bruce Wilkerson. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And then put that $80 million into a pass rusher or a receiver. I just don't get it.
Yeah.
I just don't understand what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, I think that's fair, right? Because, look, when you come, especially, and I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, because I said to him in the press conference after the season that the signings of Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney weren't just home runs, they were grand slams. Mm-hmm. And Goody said, well, thank you, I appreciate that. Well, yeah, it's the truth. But I'm not saying that about these two, right? Like, Nate Hobbs, you can put together a highlight reel of him hitting guys and breaking up passes. Great, that's what he's supposed to do. But, again, he's got an injury history, he's got a DUI, he's got some inconsistent play based on people who watched him. So that's not a slam dunk. And there's nothing sexy about signing a left guard. And they still are going to have to continue to address that group, because we all assume they're going to re-sign Zach Tom. But he's one of three guys that are coming up for new contracts on your offensive line. You just going to let Sean Ryan walk and start with somebody else there? Are you going to let – I mean, I don't even know. Are they going to try and give Jordan Morgan another shot at winning the left tackle job? Because that never materialized last year. But the dude's a first-round pick. So they got to figure out how to get him on the field. And as of right now, they didn't really create a spot for him in the starting lineup by paying Aaron Banks. And that was the reason why it surprised me, is that even if you let Josh Myers walk, which I fully expected them to do, then I figure you move Elton, you plug in Jordan Morgan at left guard, and then you draft some guys that you're going to develop. So I did not have a $77 million guard on my bingo card.
With you on that, Jason Wilde, hear him from 9 to noon, live from Pottawatomie Sportsbook today with the Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher. Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Chewy, Strofe, Joshy with you. We will dive deeper into the idea of Cooper Kupp. Is it worth taking a flyer on the veteran receiver? We dive into that next. With you this morning, it's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed, when I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah, pretty much. Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Maybe we're just trying too hard, when really it's closer than it is too far. Cause I'm in it too deep.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Thursday morning. Strofe, Chewy, Joshy hanging out with you. The reports yesterday following Cooper Kupp's official release from the Los Angeles Rams at the start of the NFL new league year is the Packers could be interested in the former Super Bowl MVP. Kupp, who's battled injuries since winning the Super Bowl MVP in 2021, was one of the best players in the league, 1,900 yards receiving back in 2021, hasn't played a full season since. It almost feels to me, Chewy, like you're going to the prom and it's Friday before a Saturday prom and you don't have a date, so you kind of panic. Like, we're friends. You want to go with me? It seems like they didn't land a wide receiver that they wanted to, and T. Higgins or DK Metcalf, and they didn't reach out about Devontae Adams, but kind of a sexier option. And we're just kind of down to the final bell before the draft, and he's the one guy left. In your eyes, is Cooper Kupp a guy worth taking a flyer on?
Well, they have to sign someone with the uncertainty of a Watson, but what did you guys say that Scantling got with
I believe it was $5.5 million.
$5.5 million, yeah.
$5.5 million. So, Coop, I mean, would you pay Cooper Kupp $12 million? I mean, he's better than Scantling.
Yeah. But
I mean, what's the number going to be? What's it going to be?
I wish I had the answer for you. I really don't know what the market looks like. I imagine he'll draw some interest because if he's healthy, he's still a good football player. He's just very obviously past his prime if you watched any Rams games the last couple of years. Right? He's slower. He doesn't have his fastball anymore.
He fell out of favor also with the Rams big time.
Right. I mean, he got beat out by Puka. And I've seen the comment across the internet quite a bit, which I think is a fair point, that this is a guy who's going to have a massive chip on his shoulder, right? Lost out to Puka, became the number two guy. The Rams ultimately decide they don't want him, gets replaced by Devontae Adams. I mean, this was the offensive player of the year now 3 seasons ago. So, yes, he's
but if your body can't do it.
That's what I'm saying, Chu, right?
So, which has been the case.
Now, maybe he's still got a little bit of tread left on the tires, but we'll see.
Yeah. Is this, I mean, just what they need is another 3, which is essentially what he is, right?
Yeah.
You think he's a 2 or a 3?
Well, in this offense, he's probably a 2. But
would he be more productive than Don Beebe?
How do you compare that?
Well, Beebs was signed as a 3, got forced because Robert Brooks tore his ACL and then stepped up and played pretty nice for us. If he's as good as Beebs or better, then I would say yes, depending on the money, go and do it because they have to. They have to sign someone.
Don Beebe.
His career high in receiving yards was 699. So he was a yard short of 700, his best year.
That was 96 with the Packers.
Cooper Kupp has only had one season below 700 yards, and that was in 2018.
It's a different game,
though. Well, I know. That's why I said it's so hard to compare, but if we're going to do it, I'll do it.
Beebs more of a vertical guy.
You signed, Beebs is fast. He's a straight line guy. But let me ask you this: for $13 million, would you be happy with 700 yards for Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, that's what he did in 12 games.
Is that
going to
get him over the edge?
No, I don't think it's a difference maker.
It wouldn't hurt, but I agree. I don't know that that's not a signing that I think, you know, when we were a week ago, right, before free agency opened, the two names we were locked in on were DK Metcalf and Devontae Adams. And I think we would all agree those guys come in and immediately raise the ceiling quite a bit. They're immediately the number one wide receiver, and they change the outlook on the wide receiver room. While 2021 Cooper Kupp would certainly make me go, oh, baby, that's a Super Bowl offense, I don't know that 2025 Cooper Kupp does a ton for me, other than he brings the experience. It is a veteran presence in that room, which I think, again, we would all agree they desperately lacked in 2024. So I'm certainly not against it, Chu. But to your earlier point, it really depends to me what that number is. Because if you're giving him a two-year deal worth $30 million, hell no. right? But if it's a 1 year prove it type deal, $9 million, sure, that's a shot worth taking in my eyes.
Well, this is the vibe I'm getting from you two, is you want a 1,000-yard receiver. There isn't a 1,000-yard receiver out there on the free agent list.
No,
there's not.
I agree.
There's none. There's zip. The best you're going to get is 700 yards. Are you willing to pay 12, 11, 12, 13 million for 700 yards? Because that's all that's out there.
I think that's almost oversimplifying it, because I also think Cooper Kupp takes away from Jaden Reed and makes what he does best even more difficult for him, because they are, at this point, a redundancy. They both function best out of the slot, and I don't know if moving Jaden Reed outside in more potential one-on-one man situations would help. I don't think Cooper Kupp also helps alleviate the need for teams that are defenses that are just planning to line up in man against the Packers. And how is that? Like, I don't think it's a strategic advantage like the Packers would need.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, at this point, I'll take the ghost of Don Beebe. I don't know, because
it's all money. It's all money, right?
Yeah,
the
money part
flat out comes down the money.
The money part is where it gets tricky, because if you get them on an MVS deal, right, 1 year, $5.5 million, I think we're all going to go, okay, that's worth it.
I mean, I think it. Everyone wants to ramp up Kraft's production, but the only way Kraft is going to ramp up his production is to split him out, and I just don't see him as a split out tight end, because
I
he's
agree.
A good blocker and he yep. plays in line. Now, you know, he could have 60, 65 catches, but you still need a receiver, your main Z receiver who catches the majority of the balls, to be up in the 80, 90, and they don't have that. I'm sorry, they don't have it. I mean, what drives me crazy, everyone gushing about who's hurt? Watson. Great receiver, wonderful year. He had 29 catches, Alex. 29 catches. Look at a list of receivers that caught balls last year and tell me a guy that caught 29 balls in where he... It's got to be in the 70s, maybe 80s, far down on the list.
Yeah.
Now, he has value because he can run, but, I mean, we gave it to Rashawn Gary, right? Oh, we got to give him a year. He had an ACL.
Yeah.
You know what's more important to a receiver than a rush end? Their ACL.
That's correct. Yeah. I hear you.
They have to get someone. They have to get someone.
I don't know
who that is.
I mean,
if everyone's looking for a 1,000-yard receiver, not there.
Here's the thing. So Goody, earlier in the season, earlier in the offseason, went ahead and dispelled any theory that could possibly live within 1265 Lombardi Ave of we don't draft receivers in the first round, right? They haven't done it since Javon Walker. But he said that's not necessarily a philosophy. We've just liked guys more, and we've been able to find really good receivers in the second, third, and fourth round, which they have, right? There's, I'm not doubting that, right? Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, etc. These are guys they found after the first round. But it feels like at this point, the way we view wide receiver and the way we hear all the rumors of, hey, they were interested in DK, they're interested in Cooper Kupp, it feels like they are acknowledging this as a need. Now, is it worth a first-round pick? Is something we will come to find out in a month and a half from now. I think, sure, you can take a shot at a wide receiver at pick 23, but does that equal a 1,000-yard receiver? More times than not, the answer is no, especially in year one. That's why, and this goes back to something we've talked about all week, that's why the not reaching out to Davante Adams thing bothers me so much, to even reach out about
it. Where do you guys stand on the point I just made with Jason? Like, I would have re-signed Josh Myers for 3.5 and took that money and put it into more of a position of need. Because don't tell me that this O-line was not good last year. Josh Jacobs rushed his ass off, right? I think the receiver thing was more of a product of the receivers and Jordan not having his greatest year. But, I mean, our O-line, when we played, we didn't have any Pro Bowlers. There were guys that pretty much played together the entire year, and we were the number one offense in the NFL.
Yeah.
Do you guys agree with me there or no?
I think what the difference here is the Packers moved on from Josh Myers and then the Jets signed him to a nothing contract. I mean, that's backup level player. Yep. So they deemed he's not good enough. I think the offensive line as a whole was good enough, but they were literally short an offensive lineman. Like they deemed they needed to fill that role, which
because
I think
because he missed in the draft. Because he missed in the draft, which.
Yeah, I mean,
what does that tell you about Zach Tom, though? What does that tell you about Zach Tom? I know it's year two, but
you mean Jacob Monk?
Jacob Monk, yeah, sorry. What does that tell you about Jacob Monk? He's clearly not ready, yep. Or, hey, we may have missed on this guy.
Probably more the former, right? He's probably not ready more than go ahead and declare it a miss. He was a mid-round pick, and he was a guy they kind of gave a redshirt year to. I think he played zero offensive snaps. So maybe he'll compete for that job. I doubt he'll win it, especially if Elgton Jenkins is competing for center. That's a guy that's going to win that job. But, yeah, it tells you maybe their contingency plan didn't work, right? And maybe it's just not looking as good as maybe they hoped it would a year ago at this point.
I just don't agree with this philosophy. I don't need an offensive line that's a 9 and the receivers that are a 7. My philosophy would be I want my receivers a 9 and my offensive line a 7. You can't have 9s across the board. You can't have a 9 quarterback, a 9 running back, a 9 offensive line, a 9 receiver, a 9 tight end, a 9 D line.
I hear you.
You got to pick and choose. Oh. Left guards don't score touchdowns. They don't. Last time I checked, they don't score touchdowns. You know how you put points on the board, Alex?
Wide receivers?
You score touchdowns.
Yeah. You need a guard though to score a touchdown.
That's true. You need your quarterback to stay upright.
I'm not saying O-line is not important, but on my list of importance when it comes to positions in building a football team, they are fourth at best.
Power rank your top 5. We'll do it next. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with you on a Thursday morning.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation. We've talked about fantasy camp. And now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Thursday morning, ESPN Milwaukee, Alex Stroh in alongside Packers Hall of Fame Mark Chmura, Josh DiMaggio with us running the show. As always, Chewy's made it pretty clear, not quite understanding the Packers signing of guard Aaron Banks earlier in the week in free agency. Went on a great rant right before the break. Left guards don't score touchdowns. Accurate during my research in the break, Chew. You're not wrong on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, you've been using this system, I want to say, the last 2 days, and maybe longer than that, but the last 2 days I've been here, of 9s, 8s, 7s, and how you spread those evenly across the field at different position groups in order to build a championship recipe. Is that a fair way to explain your system?
Yes.
So where are your 9s and 10s? What are your most important positions that the Packers need to have locked in if they're going to equal a Super Bowl team?
Well, I can power rank them from you.
Let's power rank them.
Let me just tell you this when it comes to the O-line, Alex, and everyone measures players, the easiest way to do it is by Pro Bowls, okay? So our offensive line in 96, yeah. Okay? Bruce Wilkerson, 0 Pro Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Taylor, 0 Pro Bowls. Frank Winters, 1 Pro Bowl as an alternate. Adam Timmerman, 0 Pro Bowls. Earl Dotson, 0 Pro Bowls. Okay? Number one offense in the NFL. Okay? Now, Philadelphia is afforded to have a bunch of 9s because they have the best GM in the biz. Would you agree with that?
I would fully agree with that. Yes, Howie Roseman is terrific.
Yes. So, obviously, you don't have a lot of 10s on a team, but the most important place to have a 10 is obviously the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
My second most important would be defensive line. Okay? That's why you look at our defensive line during the day. Sean Jones, Santana, Gilbert Brown, Reggie White.
And Reggie, right.
Number one defense in the league. That's pretty good. Now, if you have, let's say you have, you get two tens, and that's the two, quarterback and defensive line. That defensive line takes a lot of pressure off defensive backs, right? So then I would, if you have that, this is how I would construct a team. My third would be receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Third would be receiver. Fourth would be defensive back. Fifth would be O-line. And I'm including the tight end with receiver.
I was just about to say, where are you going to put yourself, Chew? Yeah, okay.
Six would be your back offensive backfield. And then seven, I would put linebackers and safeties.
Okay.
Kind of there and there.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
Interesting. No mention of the kicker. Kicker score points last time I checked.
They do. They do. Are you defending your guy?
Well, Nortman's a punter, so I don't know that I can really defend him.
Yeah, but I bet he could kick.
I mean, he's got a great leg.
Ask him sometime. Has he ever kicked?
I think he did in high school.
Does he have any points in the NFL?
Oh, no. No points in the NFL.
Had to be an emergency kicker. No?
Never in the NFL. I don't know about in college, but he had some great pick punts in college, so I don't know. But the only thing on my mind about Nortman right now is I saw his high school, Brookfield Central, release this year's class of Athletic Hall of Famers, and once again, he was snubbed.
What?
Yeah, I even wrote a letter to
the NFL.
I wrote a letter to the athletic director last summer. Apparently, it didn't.
Oh, that'll get him.
Yeah, I was going to say, my word doesn't carry much weight these days, apparently. So, there you have it. All right, coming up next, we will take a look at the free agents that have departed. The long, strange trip it's been with some of Goody's draft picks that have gotten their second contract elsewhere. Joshy's so happy I just made a Grateful Dead reference.
I was wondering if you knew you made that reference or not.
Yeah, I did that for you. That's where you say thank you.
We got another break.
Back after this, it's Jen Gibb and Chewy.